Hello, hello. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of If You Know, You Know, the show for Web3 creators and enthusiasts. I'm your host, Belle, and each week I'm joined by Web3 experts to bring you the latest trends, opportunities, and perspectives from the creators who are shaping the future of technology and art. Nothing we ever say is financial advice, and it's always really important to do your own research. If this is your first time joining us, we do the show live on X every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. That's 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, but you can also find it on any of your favorite streaming platforms. Super excited today. So every single week, I've been trying to incorporate a little bit of ordinals because, you know, it's not only is it the topic of the freaking year right now, in addition to meme coins, but also it's something near and dear to my heart that I've been in for since the very beginning. And one of my very favorite things is to see new ecosystems and OG projects, you know, embrace it in a way that brings in so many other new collectors. So super excited about that. I think that that's part of the narrative. And I think that that's part of like what is going to take us to the next step when we stop siloing and start embracing it. So super excited to have Star-Lordy joining us today, as well as the NFTs. I always get your name mixed up. I want to call it like the NFTs. TTs, but it's not. It's just NFTs.
I thought I was more clever than I was when I picked that name. I was like, oh, I'm gonna have some wordplay fun with it. I've been called the NFTEs too. Like,
exactly.
Feeling easy.
You know, we're way too degen to try to play around with those words. I'm like, let me read it slowly.
It also clips it. Like, it's not like NFT girl is such a like a great handle, by the way. Like, it's just very, very easy to catch. And that's the thing with Twitter spaces. Like, all of a sudden it became relevant to have a name that people can pronounce. Like, so many times around these spaces and people are stumbling through because they can't read the full name.
100%. Yeah. NFT girl is one of those things that's, it's made to be simple, right? And it's made for you to just remember. And it's made for you to remember that, like, that's what it's about. That's exactly what the brand is about, right? We're NFT girls. Like, shit doesn't get any more simple and sexier than that, if you ask me.
All right. I gotta ask you a housekeeping question, because maybe I'm crazy. Did we have a video link?
You're not tripping. You're not tripping at all. I am. I'm actually my ex's. So, okay. So behind the scenes, I got logged out of X on my laptop, which is where I need to send you the link for it. So while you introduce yourself,
We do this real time, baby. Just so you
that's
know,
the way we do it.
This is how you do production.
That's exactly right. So maybe let's give you a couple of minutes, introduce yourself, and let me see if I can work my magic in the background so we can get some video on this.
Here, I'll kick it off and then I'll throw it to the more important person. I am just a Henry Wrangler. That's my official title. Sherpa, if you will. Herald of the Oni Force Enclave, and actively promoting this really amazing drop that they have coming up. So we've been on spaces. I think I just did a tally. We did close to 30 spaces. So Henry's done more than 24 hours each month in terms of popping in and trying to spread the good word. And each time he's giving us a little bit more alpha, but I'm both here to encourage him to speak his mind and at the same time prevent him from leaking too much alpha. But at this stage, Henry, I think we're almost ready to give him the full pie, the full four course meal, if you will. So with that, meet the CEO, Henry Star-Lordy of Oni Force.
Hello, thank you for that introduction. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the film Knight's Tale, but if you have, Ben is like what's his name? The Paul Bettany?
The Lily and the Thorns, man. Henry Chaucer. It was Chaucer.
That's right. Yeah.
So I love that. Canterbury Tales, man.
Entering each village ahead of the crew and announcing us and taking care of things. So appreciate you, man. And thank you so much for hosting us. So thank you, Belle. Usually what I like to do is I like to give more alpha when it's more intimate. So everybody that's here, I just want to say I appreciate you guys. I've done a lot of spaces, but I've seen a lot of faces that are, you know, in this space right now that I've seen on all the spaces. So just want to say thank you guys for showing up. I love that. And I'll make sure for everybody listening, it's worth your time.
I appreciate that, Henry. We had you on the NFA show, and I was super impressed by, like, not only your knowledge, but the genesis of it, right? Of why you guys decided to embrace or to even start looking at Ordinal's ecosystem. I don't really know if a lot of people know that you were starting to build this before it even, like, for a long time. You've been kind of, you know, lurking around the Ordinal's Twitter spaces and talking to people in the background and kind of asking the right questions. And so I was really impressed by how in depth you're able to have these conversations. And I'll tell you why. I've now been hosting for a long enough time to know when a person is bullshitting me and when they are not bullshitting me and when they are reading from a script and when they are not reading from a script, you know, and you are not one of the bullshitters. So I want to go back to I know that, you know, OnlyForce has had a lot of changes recently, also in the past. It's one of the most OG collections in the space, in my opinion, been around for a really long time, but it has not always stayed at the forefront, right? It's one of those things where, like, if you love it, if you know it, if you had anything to do with it, any engagement, or you saw it on the timeline, et cetera, then it's super easily recognizable. You know who the players were, you know what the intent was behind it. And it's like a feel good moment to see you guys as active as you are right now. But take us back to, like, how you even got here.
I love that. And first of all, I want to really appreciate you for the compliments. I definitely, I don't know how to go on. Actually, I'm really terrible at going on script. I'm just so much better just being me, but it does get me in trouble sometimes. That's why we need a Ben. But I think people enjoy it. So anyways.
I like you being a little risky. I prefer it. I prefer an edgy CEO to one that's...
I am a bit of a cowboy. I'm a bit of a cowboy. When I was doing commercial production, I was really the guy that you called to do the crazy stuff, like shoot car scenes without, you know, permits and be super gorilla and things like that. So, but to answer your question, what brought me here was really a love for art at the end of the day. You know, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a comic book artist. That was my first dream ever in life. And, you know, then I got into filmmaking and just really storytelling and technology. When it comes to NFTs, just, you know, I was on Clubhouse in 2021. And that's when I learned about NFTs. And it was just like, when I learned about how smart contracts work, that's when I really realized, oh, this could protect artists and this could build like a future for artists, especially digital artists, you know? I think with OnlyForce, I just genuinely, that was the first project I ever saw where I thought the art was dope and I fell in love with it. It was my favorite project. And then I just kind of got lucky enough to be the project manager somehow. And, maybe it was fate, you know, a lot of things in this space happens like that. I don't know if you guys ever noticed that, but I feel like there's something about energy in this space, in the Web3 space, where like a lot of things just fall into place for people if they just kind of stay consistent and show up. And I think you know, connect, be cool, and just connect with the right people that care about that kind of stuff. And so I think that's just kind of what's been happening to me since then, since I decided to go all, but you know what it did take to get here is I did have to make a conscious decision to just give up all the other stuff, the Web 2 stuff I was doing, my commercial productions and all that stuff, and just go all in on Web 3, even though I didn't know what would happen or, you know, how it would turn out. So I've been very, very lucky and very blessed, I would say.
By the way, real quick, while we have, just before we ramp into the really good, juicy stuff, everybody needs to like and retweet. I know we were going to do video. It sounds like we're going to stay to audio, but I want to make sure, like, the Oni universe hears us loud and clear. The herald has to herald, you know, so.
Yeah, we could do video next time, but yeah, I'm happy to just be here.
Hey, technical issues. It's a new world, right?
Yeah. Sorry, guys. I feel so bad about that. But yeah, I can't get in right now. So
you're good. Twitter space is good, I think. Nobody needs to see my face.
We're PFPs. I don't know what you're talking about. This is
yeah, we all have PFPs.
Y'all, I put my lipstick on and everything. I mean,
oh, that's true.
Your ninja looks extra cute, though.
Next one. We'll just imagine really you as looking amazing. So, and then next time we do the video, we can do that.
That's exactly right. All you girls know what I'm talking about. I, you know, not just any day do I get makeup on. Now you just gotta have to pretend that we all like the best versions of ourselves.
Sidebar, because you said that is it did occur to me one day that I realized with girls and makeup and how much effort that goes into like just looking good, you know, for society. I realized like mathematically that is actually kind of crazy because the amount of time that you spend every day working on this stuff, it's like time that you don't do on other things. So it's kind of like, I was like, how do women get so many things done? Like when they're also doing so many things, like if I had to go get my nails done, I don't know, like I would never get it done. They would just be like horrible looking mangled nails because I just don't. I don't know how to make time for that. So anyways, kudos.
Thank you. No, let me take that rant just a little bit further.
Yes.
We were just at ETH Denver. I don't know if you guys were there. And if you are, please tell me that you weren't because I'm going to feel like shitty that I didn't see you. But Okay, good. But I was just at ETH Denver and, you know, meeting up with people at certain events and whatnot. And it's like, guys, you don't understand that for us women, it's going to take us at least a little bit. I'm not going to exaggerate and say an hour. That would be ridiculous. But it's going to take us at least 15, 20 minutes extra. You got to get the hair. You got to get the makeup. You just get to roll up to the event just looking how you look. But we cannot do that. So anyway, rant over. Thank you for coming to that.
Yeah, no, I just want to acknowledge that because I think it's and some girls do spend an hour on their makeup and stuff, so it's, you know, it's,
yeah,
you know, yeah. But guys, well, we get to show up with basically zero effort. We just like
if we shower.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes we don't even shower. It's just we just show up.
Yeah, I know. So my fellow co-host on NFA, Flame, who's not here, or else I would roast him. Actually, I am gonna roast him. Yeah, I can tell him that. On one of our shows said that I was the, was talking about something and he was like, well, Belle, you know what I'm talking about because I think we're about the same age, you know, we're like the only vintage ones here. So I'm just going to say I no longer spend an hour on my makeup or even on my hair because I'm more of one of the more vintage ones in the space that, you know, that was when my early 20s, I'm no longer there anymore. So.
I like that. I'm going to start calling myself vintage.
Yeah, I know.
So classy. I'm mint out of never been opened.
There you go. You are vintage like fine wine, baby. That's me. Let's get back on track because you guys completely took me to another.
Hey, that's
to
me
another.
Going off script. I'm sorry. That's my fault.
Yeah. That's what I meant. That's like, you know, I called it, right? You definitely do not go off of a script. Okay, so you join the team, you quit your Web 2 job, you immerse yourself fully onto the team and dedicate yourself. What then?
well, then was a year of challenges. I'm trying to be diplomatic because for me personally, it was pretty traumatic. there was a lot of love, like meeting the community, getting to, like, you know, I always say that the Owning Force community raised me because it was my first Web3 community, you know, the one that I felt connected with. And, you know, I learned the ways of Web3 through the community members. And, but I think, you know, as a company, it was very difficult. It was a difficult time. And so I learned the hard way, like what it means to take over a project that has been distressed, as they say, and then try to bring it back with our team, our little team that we had. And thankfully it all, I don't know, it all worked out. It's hard to, I honestly, that year in 2022 could be, it would be the most bananas season of like Silicon Valley on crack and steroids that you could like ever imagine. You know, it's like, because during that time, during the bull, it's like everybody's just printing and like doing well and super happy and stuff. And then our project was not, so it was getting dunked on by everybody. Like, I didn't even go on Twitter for the first 8 months of OniForce, because if you're on Twitter, anybody mentions OniForce, it would just be like memes and like, you know, hate to the founders and all sorts of toxic stuff. So we just kept it tight, and we kept it in the Discord and just the core community, the people that really cared about the art and the promise, the potential of it, you know. And so my job was to basically deliver to those people that cared the most, that showed up, you know, consistently, the promised land, as I would say to them, which is freedom, which is like a, you know, new owners, and then also a chance to like live the destiny that it deserves, you know, that the potential it has. So so yeah, it was pretty epic behind the scenes, to be honest. I lost hair over it. my health was all jacked up, but now we're like on this next chapter with everyone, and it's extremely satisfying, and it does feel like a movie, you know, like,
yeah, next season on Silicon Valley, I heard he's training to fight BitBoy in a karate tournament, because we just need to top the outrageous from the last season, you know.
I don't really know BitBoy. I saw that video clip, and he does look a little unhinged though.
He dominated,
that's an understatement. Fight.
Yeah, I was like, yo, that guy looks a little crazy. I was like, I don't know anything about him. I don't follow people like that, but I didn't even
people
know
people like happening. That.
Yeah, until somebody put it on Twitter. I thought it was like a Photoshop thing or something when somebody put it on Twitter, and then I realized, oh, this is real. I was like, what the heck is going on?
Yeah, like nowhere else can this be a real situation, you know? It's like, only in Web3, only in crypto, is that even a real thing? Did we even witness that? And do we even, you know, that we even get to say things like, yeah, he was very animated, wasn't he?
Yeah. But yeah, so now we're here. We have this ordinals.
So before you get to the ordinals.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to dwell too much on it either. But I do think that the story that you just told is one that can be repeated, you know, again and again and again. So many different times with different projects that have launched something, kind of lost their way for whatever reason. And then changes hands, or, you know, a change of management, or is taken over, whatever. So many different reasons. The denominator, the common denominator across all of these projects is that they have a community that still believes in whatever that vision was, right? They have a community that still backs them up and still wants to see them lift themselves up. So you literally have gone all the way back there and come back from it. And so, you know, not to dwell on like the bad things, but what are some lessons learned out of that? Like, how would you recommend so many other projects that are asking themselves, how the hell do we do this?
Yeah, that's actually a great question. That is actually always a relevant and important question to ask. I think the thing about Web3 is that people are much more interconnected and interdependent on each other, right? So it's like your holders, even though it's not a security, hey, everybody, it's not a security. You don't own like stock or, you know, shares in a company, right? Repeat, it's a collectible item. We are not a security, but we can acknowledge that in it, there's a market, like a collectible market, and much more so than, let's say, Pokemon, you know, the value of this these collectible items affects the health of the company. You know, it affects the dynamics of the company, because often, you know, you're so interconnected that your company is your people, you know, like you're building things with people that matter, and they're taking upon themselves to build things for you, for your brand, essentially, just from expressing their love for it. And so there's a much bigger responsibility. And so I think, you know, the first thing I saw was, you know, with Web2 companies, like when a Disney or somebody like uses the word community or something, it's not really community. Like, you're still just a customer, and you know, at the end of the day, if you don't, like, they don't care. But so for a Web3 company, though, you have to care. Like, it's like you just genuinely, it's like not magic. You just have to genuinely care about your holders more than you care about yourself in a lot of ways. And then that doesn't mean that, to be honest, that the holders always know the right thing, because I think in this space, we get caught up in these waves of meta. And then one thing I did see is all these projects that did the same shit, like, ended up putting themselves in the same shit later, like in a bad or worse situation. So I think, you know, it's a balance, but it's like always just prioritizing your holders and thinking, okay, what is best for them based on the collective vision of what this project's supposed to be. You know, like, we're not like some super degen DeFi project, for instance, right, where like art doesn't matter, right? Like, we are actually an art and storytelling brand. That's, we created that meta for PFP projects, and so therefore it's our duty to kind of like keep that, those values in mind, but then figure out how to translate those values in a way so that it benefits holders first, you know, because the healthier they are, I think the more healthy the project is. So I don't know. So then that goes down to all the things like normal, like communication. Like, if you're in a relationship, it's always about communication and intent and learning and growing and, you know, getting closer together, those sorts of things. So I like to say the community is like our vital organs, you know. It's like, if we don't have them, like, we won't survive. So I just think you just have to care that much. And then that's step one. And then after that, if you're just like really transparent with people and, you know, willing to learn and all that stuff, and then you can go pretty far together.
I love that. I really love that. It really is like a relationship. You are building this together. Anything less than that, it's not going to reach its potential to what you were hoping, right? That makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's what, because a lot of these projects that, you know, have been, or during the bear got decimated, it was always the same complaints that I would see from community members, that they weren't being listened to, that they were kind of being ignored, or they were being used as, you know, exit liquidity, you know, whatever it is. But the point is, like, these companies clearly showed they didn't prioritize their holders enough to keep their holders. And what I learned is that at the end of the day, the community does know best, right? Like, if they smell something's fishy, like, they're probably right. Like, if they're complaining about something consistently, they're probably right, you know. So you have to respect, just like your, like I said, your vital organs. Like, if your heart is giving you trouble and stuff and you just keep ignoring it, like, then you might be in bad shape eventually. So you gotta do the things daily that take care of those situations.
I love that. That is exactly the right attitude for people in projects to have. And I appreciate you walking us through that. Now, let's talk about the ordinals.
Let's go. Ordinals. Ordinals.
They're coming. Well, you have an ordinal PFP. What got you into ordinals? Because you have a nice, fancy little ninja there.
I sure do. What got me into ordinals? Thank you.
It fits your personality too. It's really working.
Yeah, I know. I thought it was cute. Just like me. You can't see that because we're not on video, but just pretend.
We are pretending, remember? We've already established this.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Yes. But why am I into ordinals? Man, because it's the mother chain, you know? It is where it is. I think that we all got onboarded by someone who started off by talking to us about Bitcoin. And that's where it starts and that's where it ends, you know? I mean, now you ask me a question and I'm going to fully answer it. And now I'm going to say this is a long ass answer. But in order to fully answer it, I have to give you a long ass answer. Okay. So here's my long ass answer. Almost 7 years ago, I lost my husband to cancer. I was a very young widow with two little kids and a strong career that I loved and I worked my ass off. And then when all of that happened, I realized that that career meant shit to me, that it meant absolutely nothing. That it really a lot of things in my life meant absolutely nothing, right? Because when you lose somebody like that, it's like for the perspective of things that come to your life is just life changing. And one of those things, I decided to go to law school. And while I was studying for law school, you know, mama has to bring home the bacon. And instead of staying with my corporate career that I had for so long, I decided to quit my job and go to law school so that I could help other people, but I still had to make money somehow. And I was really curious about crypto and how that could be an empowering investment opportunity for me. And so I met the right people who pointed me in the right direction. And NFT Girl was a big part of that journey. Trading was a big part of that journey. My personal, you know, acceptance of everything that was happening in my personal life was a big part of that journey. And today I can confidently say that crypto and Bitcoin and ordinals and absolutely everything that has gone on in the last couple of years has brought me to a point now that my kids look at me and say, wow, mom, women can truly do anything that they want to do. And, you know, I have my business and I have my properties and we live comfortably, et cetera, et cetera. And so all of that in the name of sweet baby ordinals and sweet baby Bitcoin to give me
Mama Bitcoin.
Exactly. All of that in the name of Mama Bitcoin that has been able to bless me abundantly in a lot of different ways and not just financially, but look at what we're doing here. Right. I have an entire community that I've been able to build with, if you know, you know, and been able to meet so many amazing people and host so many amazing people and have so many, talks surrounding innovation and what it is and what it means, et cetera, et cetera. And so that is my long ass answer to tell you why I have an ordinals as a PFP and why I'm here and do this every day.
That's a harrowing tale. I love that.
Thank you.
Really deep. Thanks for sharing that. I had no idea.
If you know, you know.
And now
you know.
Now we know, exactly.
That's exactly right. So what about you? Now tell me, Henry, Aaron, NFTs, whichever one of you wants to go first, why ordinals?
Henry pilled me, so he's got to give the good explanation because I was one of the community. He talks about, like, he's like, there's a bunch of community members that when we said ordinals, they were like, why? I was one of them. And I talked to him about it, and then he explained
Funny. Yeah, I don't actually remember specifically who when I say that, but yeah, no, there was a couple people. Look, it was just one of those things where when I discovered ordinals, it just made sense. I don't know. Like, it literally, it didn't take any time to process in my mind. It was just, as soon as I heard it, I was like, yep. It's like if you put ice cream in your mouth, you're not thinking like, is this good? You're just like, yep, this is delicious. And like, you just know. And so I felt like with Ordinals, because of it's on Bitcoin, it's like, it was just so obvious because Bitcoin is more OG. Like, the holders have a different culture, like a different mentality. Like, they're like an OG, like Bitcoin whale or something is like way more hardcore than an ETH, like whale or somebody who'd be like onboarded to crypto through ETH or something. Not any disrespect or anything. It's just provenance and history and all that is so important in this space. And, you know, Bitcoin, I think, also has a more mature kind of investor community, right? Like people who take crypto a little bit more seriously, perhaps. I think there's a lot of Bitcoin whales that don't do like meme pictures. Like they don't spend, like, you know, like I think they just like hodling Bitcoin. And which is a separate problem, by the way. But either way, like I just felt if somebody could crack NFTs on Bitcoin, then that therefore NFTs on Bitcoin are going to become a thing someday. And then also, I think the reason why it made a lot of sense for us as for OniForce is, you know, my thesis is that Bitcoin is where the institutions are going to really put their attention and money towards, because it's just technology, right? It's better for high-end art collectors and people that want to buy a digital piece of art that they could then store for 1,000 years or 100,000 years or whatever. You know, like, it makes a lot more sense to tell a collector like, hey, that you inscribe the art on the Satoshi and now you can put the Satoshi in a wallet and keep it forever, you know, versus like most ETH stuff. It's like, hey, here's this NFT, but like, if we don't pay the bills, like, that thing's going to show up as a string of like code or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, that's like a really hard sell to someone who's going to spend, you know, $1 million on something or expects it to be worth millions of dollars someday, you know? So to me, that was the very initial thesis. I was like, if we're going to ever show our work in a museum like OniForce, because we are the first anime PFP project in the world, in history. So therefore, I think that could turn into part of Web3 history when they teach art history someday. I realized we would give these museums a Satoshi probably. And so that's the initial thesis. And that's why Ordinals, like, it's about art. It's about preservation. It's about, you know, now it's about establishing IP on chain and giving holders an opportunity to be part of the building of the brand and the IP and in a gamified, fun, you know, way with storytelling and stuff like that. But in March, that was not really, it didn't go that far. You know, when we inscribed last year, it was just really like, oh, okay, Ordinals thing, we believe in it. Let's go ahead and put our stamp on it. Although we did, what I think the thoughtful part of it was that we did inscribe the first 7 characters, which are in our upcoming comic book series as the main characters. So there was like some extra, I don't want to use the word utility because it's kind of like almost like a lame word in Ordinals. It's like,
we,
you know,
fun, remember, we're gonna
fun is a utility here. Man, yeah, fun is a utility, dude. I do firmly believe in that, but I guess in terms of the better way to put it is like, for using inscribing the characters that we're actually going to make in the comic books is cool. It's like, it's the kind of stuff that people do like on Ordinals, right? It's like, it means something. Like, yeah, I think it's like, oh, think about Ordinals, which I learned in, like you said, lurking was, by the way, the perfect word, because I pretty much lurked. Like, I didn't really like jump on spaces and try and talk or anything. I was just kind of learning. But I do think that the space likes just intention. It just rewards you for trying and like doing it because it's cool, like not because you're trying to be like some money making machine, build big brand. I don't know. Like, it's just, now's the time to just be pure, you know?
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I want to ask you about the storytelling aspect of it with the comic book and the anime included in there, because I think that that has a lot of relevance when you talk about the Ordinal collections. You know, you're, all of those things add provenance to it, and they also add the hated word utility to it. But when you bring it to Bitcoin, technically it adds more value to it also. Theoretically, it does.
Well, it does in that way, I think. Again, as a collectible item, not a security, it brings more value when you have more stuff that happens, more infrastructure, right? Like, I do think the idea, whatever the word utility really is trying to represent, that's obviously coming to Ordinals because it's also competition, right? Like, if you think about it, it's like a utility kind of in on ETH evolves so quickly because everybody just copies each other within milliseconds, and then you're just constantly trying to one up each other on how, like, how much value you bring to your community. You know what I mean? Like, even like Pudgy, like, dropping a token to their community, that's like, oh, okay, yeah, we should be doing that. You know, like, so, like, I think it's just like in Ordinals as well, like, and I feel like it still correlates on ETH. I feel like in the beginning in ETH, it was like a lot of art, a lot of vibes, a lot of people who really truly believed in the core values of Web3, right? Like, let's face it, the ETH community actually established these values. So I think the best of what Web3 has to offer, it doesn't matter what chain you're on, because it's all the same values at the end of the day. Yeah, with Ordinals, I'm sure it's coming, you know?
I agree. You know, you now see even one of one artists start to incorporate utility and actually use that word when they're talking about fine art and one of one's NFTs, things that you would not have seen 2 years ago or when they first started, you know, making them or I was going to say inscribing them, minting them. And now you do. Now you do, because now it is just part of the world that we live in. That's just part of the language that we speak, if you will. So for sure. So you guys are going to end up with ETH collectors and also ETH NFT collectors and also Bitcoin Ordinal collectors. Will there be a difference between those two type of communities?
Eventually, no, because it's just one community, it's one brand at the end of the day. So I think what we're going to see, first of all, is that everything stems from technology as well, right? So the stuff you can do on Ordinals, you can't really quite do in the same way on ETH and vice versa, I think. So therefore, even just having slightly different experiences on chain is going to affect like what you can do. It's kind of like if you were playing games on like a Switch versus like, you know, a Nintendo DS or a PlayStation. There's like all the technology affects like what you can do. And so we're going to, you know, obviously our culture is innovation. So we want to push on both ends to make cool stuff. Our storytelling platform will integrate both. So I think that's where things start to merge. I feel a lot of the question, for holders might come down to like, okay, what's, because I get a lot of pressure about, okay, well, what's the benefit that ETH holders are going to get so that they can like, you know, maintain their floor price or floor price will go up or whatever. And so I think, you know, there tends to be, in all honesty, some favoritism towards the ETH collectors, because forget about the chains. Like, we're just talking about people who have been here, right? So if you hold an ETH PFP, that means you've been here longer, right? Like, so you deserve respect. And that's why we centered our, how we did allocation and pricing and all that stuff. It's like really, really benefited to be a holder. And because we gave out like one Bitcoin worth of free PFPs, or we're giving them out, you know, to the top 100. That's, you know, like 50K plus in value that's just going to our existing holders for holding.
Explain that. Explain how that worked.
Yeah. So we had a point system, or we have a point system, and basically that's how we give people admissions, and, you know, they could farm points, and, you know, then we pump the rewards into the system. And, you know, we've been running it for a little while. And so the people who were in the top 100 in our point system leaderboard, the top 100 holders, you know, you had to be a holder. We, for the ordinals drop, we allocated 100 free PFPs for them that are going to be airdropped. Plus, they get extra, you know, allow list spots depending on their tier and stuff. So we really, like, we tried to reward people for using the point system because it's still early, and essentially they're helping us test it out. So every drops and things we do. So, sorry, it's a long answer to your question, because I think it's something, it's like a really important question. And initially, the funny part is, like, I think a lot of pressure came from, like, oh, what are you going to do to increase the floor price of the ETH, right? Like, but now you're looking at these top collections on ordinals. And because, again, remember, a Bitcoin whale is different than an ETH whale in general, if we're going to generalize. And we're going to see projects denominated in like one Bitcoin value, right? Instead of one ETH. And so, like, I'm starting to think that, again, this is not financial advice or anything. I'm just talking about how the collection moves in terms of market and stuff. I'm feeling like the real utility is that if we're a top project on ordinals and our floor price is high on Bitcoin, theoretically, and then you get the same level of access to our storytelling and point system, whichever one you have, then actually that will make the ETH project more valuable by default, because people will want access to our ecosystem. So I think instead of thinking of it in terms of like a us versus them, or ETH versus BTC, or I was here first, like all that sort of stuff that I think, you know, starts to happen sometimes, it's more important to think of it like one healthy Oniforce ecosystem is good for all. And that's how we're designing it. So we'll see how things play out, obviously. But I'm just being really honest about my thought process here, you know, and my opinions on. And these are just my opinions. I could be totally wrong. I have, you know, no idea what I'm talking about sometimes. I'm just going off of my gut, you know.
No, I think that's really cool. You know, it's like that is what Web3, I think, is all about, or at least it's a very big part of it, that early adopters, you know, are to be rewarded. Your earliest community members are the ones to be rewarded. And there is something special. You're right on the money when you say if you have a ETH PFP, then you've been here for a minute. You've been here for a while, right? And if you have, in the same vein, if you have a ordinal PFP, then you're probably in the trenches. Like, either you're a, you know, a Bitcoin millionaire that just has the money, and probably, actually, no, those probably will not have an ordinal as their PFP. They'll just be themselves. But if you at this point have an ordinal PFP, that says something about you, as does an ETH PFP, says something about you. And I think that the longer that you've been in the ecosystem, the more that you should be rewarded. Collections that get that do really well.
Yeah, I mean, let's be real. We're going to keep stacking benefits to have both, and therefore having your ETH PFP now and holding it will benefit you quite a bit in the future, because it also makes more sense to reward people and give multipliers and things for people who have both. So we have some like really cool, which I definitely can't leak because I think that takes the piss out of it, as they say. We want to make sure that they have fun. But, you know, we have some really cool fucking ideas planned for what you trigger in terms of utility for having both an ETH and an ordinal. So all the people who held on from Mint, all the people who bought in when it was 0.2 and there's literally no reason to buy in other than the art and believing in the art, it's like all these people are going to, I think, really feel the love.
And Henry's got me on like my button right now. I'm like, when do I interject? When
yeah, is he he's gonna like, leak? Be careful. Be careful. He's getting to the red line. When it comes to like the story and all the fun stuff, like I really don't want to spoil it for people, because when it comes like to playing a great video game or watching a great movie, like you don't want to know what actually happens. I mean, that's not fun. That's why people say spoiler alert. So I'll just say spoiler alert. It's going to be amazing.
You got to give us something, Henry.
I'll give you something. I think, but I don't want to. The stuff I was thinking about right now, I want to be careful. But what can I give? I don't know. There's so many things.
I would just say there's a lot of exciting developments, and you're gonna have me PR the crap out of this. Get ready, ladies and gentlemen. This is how you do it.
I'm about to mute you and tell Henry to tell us that.
Well, I was gonna say,
I'm literally letting him, because I don't want to get in trouble.
No. I usually, the best way, I'll give you guys the secret. The best way to get me to leak stuff is you have to ask the right questions. But Ben, go ahead and say what you're going
to
say.
Man, she was getting close to those questions too. I just got to say, there's a lot of really interesting experimental things happening in the Ordinals universe, and those are really worth keeping an eye on. And similarly, there's a lot of really amazing advancements that are happening in the artificial intelligence worlds. And with this, there's like a really incredible potential here to unify the project and have common value that everybody benefits from. And so like without getting so overt of saying this and this date, because that causes so many problems, like there are things that we want to do immediately after Mint that I think people are going to be very impressed with. And so, yes, we understand the people that have been waiting for a year when the project got took over. There was a lot of housekeeping that needed to be done. There was a lot of strategy that needed groundwork to be laid, research that needed to be done, and now it's execution. And so, like, I get the sentiment. Henry gets the sentiment. He's got PTSD. He hears loud noises, and he runs under the table. But the value is here. It's on the precipice. And all we got to do is get through this next phase. And so we're here in March. We're ready to go. Bitcoin is cranking. There's nothing but excitement to be had. So, you know, there are going to be impatient people in going like, leak it now, tell everybody, like, make us moon. Henry is not that guy. Henry is the guy to sit there and say, this is how I want to build over the next 5 years. Here are the relationships I want to have. And these are the people I want to be close to. And you're going to see that with, you know, council members and everything else that we're putting forward to show that we're serious. So that's the best summary I could give you, Henry, without giving away too much. So hopefully that was sufficient.
I don't think that was sufficient, Ben. I think they're
okay. Leak what little you can. You can't give away the whole kit and caboodle, man. Bell, what do you want?
Throw a dartboard and like or throw a dartboard and pick something to leak. Well, I don't know. I mean, what are you most interested in learning? Bell, like when you look at OniForce, like what are you seeing? I am curious, like what's the buzz, like what's the word on the street, how are people talking about us, like how are we being perceived, like what's our opportunity here, you know?
Yeah, so based on just personal observations as well as, you know, conversations with other people, first and foremost, the artwork coming out, the artwork and the teasers that you have been able to show with everybody has been stellar, not gonna lie. Seriously, you guys are killing it. And so, you know, on the comic, like on the anime comic front, it makes you think, all right, if they are coming out with this artwork, which is rare, really, it's rare at this point. There's so many projects who just, you know, throw shit at the wall and say, let's just run with it because people want to make money off of it, right? I mean, we were all here during the bull run, which now it seems to be coming again. And that's the narrative. That's what happens. You don't have to put that much effort into it, but I will tell you that it looks like you did put a whole lot of effort into it, and it looks really freaking good. And so it makes you think, if this is the quality of this work, then I wonder how the quality of future works will be. And I wonder who they're working with, and I wonder what the vision is on that. So.
Oh, that's cool. I really appreciate that. Yeah, I didn't even think about that perspective.
Talk about the artist, man. Like, that was a great yeah. Fire. That took a lot of work.
Yeah, you know, it is true. I do think great art, even if you don't know what went into it, you can always tell that a lot went into it, right? Like, there's some intangible thing, like time, like, you know, a function of time. And because we inscribed last March, right, our first seven. So it's literally been a year of development, which is kind of crazy if you think about it. That's definitely like in Web3 world, that's like the long view. Because even in Ordinals, there was a couple moments like pumps and things where it was like popping off and it could have been okay to drop a collection or something. But really, again, it goes back to community, to be honest. Like, I know that our community expects, like, the best art possible. You know what I mean? Like, I know that the reason why a lot of people join Oni Force is because they legitimately thought it was the best art in the space, especially when it first launched, right? Like, that's, you know, now we have other great collections and S-tier artists, I think, that all legitimately can say that, like, their community can say it's, like, the best art to them. But if we're going to do a new collection and we haven't done one in 2 years, it's got to be a banger. And it has to be, like, if you think about it, it's, like, the way that I Am Complex established himself as one of the top, like, PFP artists in the space. And, you know, certainly when he launched, I think, was the top. It's a pretty hard act to follow because not only is he great, but the way that he's great is that his art is extremely unique. It's very difficult to copy. Like, even to this day, like, there's not even one copy of Oni Force that exists on the market, right, that has any audience, you know? Like, so it's I call him the Tarantino of artists because, like, he knows every anime, every manga, like, he knows every fashion brands. He knows about sneakers. He knows about toys. He studied graphic design. He's very eclectic. And so he, like, kind of takes the best out of everything. And that becomes his influence and how he makes decisions. And so visually, it comes off very unique. And he had a strong thesis behind it with, like, the colors, like the pop of the colors, like the more of a graphic design approach where it's, like, less shading on the art and more flat. And, you know, like, he kind of meant the PFPs to be something that you could put, like, on a canvas and hang on a wall or something. And I think, you know, it took 4 months to find an artist that we were happy with because we tried at least 4 or 5 artists beforehand who were all, like, amazing artists, by the way. But, you know, we just kept doing test rounds and seeing what their rendition was and what their take was. Because at the end of the day, you can't copy I Am Complex. Like, you got to be yourself and then you got to come with your own flavor, but also be on brand. And we got really very lucky, which is, by the way, kind of a Cinderella story as well. It's like our artist that we settled with, Alex Lin, I'll go to his profile and pin him, but he was in the community and he's just, like, extremely talented. He has, like, a long history of doing, like, concept art and for video games and things like that, and very, very talented. Was always busy, so he would contribute a little bit of art here and there, but really he was always busy. And then he kind of became available right when I was like kind of like I was literally at the point where I was telling I'm Complex, I was like, dude, I think you're gonna have to draw this new collection, because even though, you know, Brian swore that he would never do another PFP set, like, he's such a good dude and such a, like, he really loves Oni Force and the community, you know, like, he's such a, like, a dependable guy that he was literally willing to do it. Like, we were already, like, kind of rolling up our sleeves and, like he was starting to do some tests, like, art, like, front facing and stuff. And, but then as soon as we saw Alex, which I just pinned his, tweet, but, we were just like, oh, he's the one, like, he gets it. And so,
when you say gets it, I want to ask you, two questions. Mm-hmm. Why was it so important that he know anime as much as he does? Like, why was that a perfect match? And then number two, the second question, why is the PFP facing forward instead of to the side?
Absolutely. You mean he as in the new artist or Brian?
Yes.
Oh yeah. Well, anime is not just a unique art form. It's kind of a way of life. If you think of pop culture and storytelling, it's really like a set of values that are expressed in the storytelling. Like if you look at Western, like primarily like American storytelling culture, like in comic books and stuff, it's very heavily superhero based, right? Like there's a format to the storytelling where, you know, it's a type of hero. They have a certain types of struggles and you see these themes like repeated over and over again. And then even the structure of like how they become a hero, et cetera, et cetera. Anime is like very unique. It's way more diverse, to be honest. Like you could have all sorts of weird characters. You know, they do have, that's why they break them into different genres from like shonen to whatever, because it's like even the storytelling format has like themes, you know, like a lot of times, like for shonen stuff, which is most popular, you know, it's like a hero's journey and there's like a training period, you know, and like all the sorts of stuff you start to see repeat. And so I think understanding anime is like understanding that sensibility is really important because it comes out somehow where it really shines is like how you develop this brand in the story. Cause I'm Complex kind of created like a blend of Western and Eastern sensibilities, you know, like he has like gorillas as like influence for the art. And so really our storytelling is a reflection of that. And so one thing we found that's actually difficult in the comic book development side is like, you have to find an artist that also has both sensibilities. If you're going to do a Western comic, like how can you make it fit the format? But also we want to still tell the stories and have references and things. It's like all these subtle things. So yeah, this artist Alex, I mean, he loves anime and all that stuff too, so I think that really helps him.
And why,
what was the second question?
Why facing forward?
Oh yeah. Well, I'll be honest, like when, again, going back into history at that point where I'm Complex was getting ready to draw the collection, which I still laugh about because, like, dude, how much, like, you couldn't love a guy more for that. It's like a movie scene where he's like, just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in, you know? And it's like, he's just like, has that much love for the brand. But anyways, so he was kind of getting ready to draw it and he was doing tests and it was sideways at first. The reason why we thought sideways at first was because it's iconic, you know, like we established that. And so the initial thinking was like, oh, that's probably like what we wanted is what we were concerned about is if we go to ordinals and then the art doesn't match, like it might break up the brand a little bit and not make it as like recognizable, or confusing. And we were even considering flipping the PFPs to the other side, face the other way, since it was like a different chain. that was the initial thought process, but I'll be honest, like when the Azuki Elementals drop happened, which, by the way, I want to take a moment to say the Azuki art is amazing. Like, I think that there's three S-tier PFP projects right now in terms of the art. It's Oni Force, Azuki, and Renga, I'm guessing, is like my three that I think are. And I would actually even add Sansound too, because, but if we had top three, I would say in terms of market share, mind share, whatever. But shout out Crow. I love his work. Actually, I wanted Crow to be the artist for the PFPs, but he was busy with Sansound, so he wasn't able to do it. But anyways, so after the Elementals thing happened, and kind of some of the reaction to it, I realized that we have to be very bold. Like, we have to show with our art that we're taking like a clear like step forward into something new and kind of scary, you know. like great art, like, you got to be a little scared, you know, otherwise like it's not really going to be great. So and then there was also technical reasons. Like, I think front facing is better because you can see the character more full on, and then it allows other artists to render the characters better because they have a better reference. And then even all the way down the chain where it's like, now we can make better 3D models, because I noticed like 3D artists we worked with in the past had a hard time figuring out what, like, especially the mechs, the frames, like they had a hard time figuring out what it looks like in the front. So I thought, okay, we want front facing. It'll be bold. We'll be able to translate it better. And then also we could turn them into, use them as better references to make 3D avatars for our community eventually, that sort of stuff. So there's a lot of reasons that we went front facing at the end of the day.
I love that. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I was going through right now and looking at more artwork, and it is fire. You guys are killing. Congratulations on all of that. Thank you. All right. So when does it drop? What do we need to do? What should we
watch? That is some alpha we can say.
Please.
So we're going to drop on March 21st. We are opening up pre-sales for all the people, the holders, ahead of time, so they could lock in their spot. We're gonna be still running contests and giving away stuff, and so I definitely want people to stay tuned on the Twitter. I'm trying to think what would be fun to talk about before.
I think did you get into you got a little bit on that track where you're talking about the forward facing and like a little bit of the lore here in terms of like how you can depict a hero's journey, and how like in anime there's a culture that it really focuses on the yin and yang a bit. And so like being able to tell that story through the PFP, I think, is really important and something you've been focused on.
Yeah, I think what is some good alpha is that, you know, we are right after the mint is just the beginning of everything, and then we move into the marketing phase over the upcoming storytelling platform. I can say that the ETH project holders or ETH holders of our project will have the first crack at the storytelling system, and there will be benefits for that. And then on top of that, again, like I said earlier, holding both ETH and an ordinal will create some cool things, some cool activations.
And will there be a multiplier or anything for holding more than one of each?
Yes. So like in our point system and stuff, like we'll be rewarding all of that. So, and we're playing with some interesting ideas too on ordinals itself, where, like, I was trying to think of some cool ways to actually use both, because the thing about the ordinal space right now is I think the best thing to do is just build and just try stuff and be experimental. And so we have probably the 13th is the alpha. I would pay attention to the anniversary of our inscriptions. We're going to be teasing something. and potentially protect myself here a little. It's an important day though, so you definitely want to pay attention and also be engaged. And so I think we'll have something really fun for holders on that day.
There's some community alpha hunters too. Our community is starting to get more active on that front. We know that's like important for some of the collectors to have camaraderie and their collecting behaviors and things of that nature too. So
yeah, we brought on a really good alpha caller for ordinals, and then also we're bringing on more for ETH and different. So, you know, just so the community knows, we're going to start sharing more or pushing that more, but we are definitely trying to aggressively build a top tier alpha channel, so that way, you know, for holders, they have more to engage with. And you know, like I said, we're looking at all the metas, like the going after token allocation. Our ownership group is going to be very active with OniForce. The benefit we have with them is we can now leverage them to look for investments. And I told the group that I think OniForce itself should be investing in other projects, whether it's token based or GameFi or NFT or DeFi, whatever. Like, we're gonna be looking at all of it, and so I think that's gonna be really cool, because we're like building a pretty strong ecosystem where there'll be a lot of opportunities for a community to explore stuff.
I mean, we have the CEO of coins.ph and the former CFO of Binance working with us, and I think people forget that too. It's probably worth saying, like,
what?
Yeah, Wei's done some amazing things, and we meet with him regularly, and Starlordy and him have things cooking, so that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow, that's some big names.
Yeah, no, we're cooking. Like, this year is going to be the year of delivering. I think last year was, like Ben was saying, there's a lot of housekeeping, a lot of infrastructure. And also, let's face it, during a bear market, it was really rough, you know? So there's a lot of soul searching, a lot of people in the market trying to figure out what they're going to do. I think for us, we've been pretty consistent on what we want to work on. But also just trying to adapt with the times is really important.
I think you guys are doing an excellent job. You have a really good team that, you know, knows their shit and is executing. And I can see it in the tone that you have set. And I can see it in the art that you have produced. And I love the idea of the alpha group, especially if it's, you know, coming together organic. I mean, hey, we're here for community, but we're also here to make that cash.
So. Oh yeah, no, we want to. We keep it real, you know. Like we want to give the people what they want. I think at the end of the day, with this market on the upswing, regardless of how long that lasts or whatever, that sort of stuff, you know, we're in a position to take advantage of it. So we're gonna fucking milk it for everything we can for our community, and just try damn to bring right that value every day, you know.
Damn right, I am here to support you. All right, guys. That's love gonna it be it for today's show. Is there anything that you want to share with us before we wrap it up that we haven't talked about?
Yeah, like I said, pay attention on the 13th. That's our big milestone for us. If you're a community member, you definitely want to actually, regardless, you should stay in the Discord, because that's where a lot of the information is going to be coming out first. And yeah, I don't know. I'll just sit tight and enjoy the ride. It's going to be fun. And just with the launch, it's going to be just the beginning of like a whole year of, you know, escalating utility.
There's that word.
Fun. There's that word. Fun is a utility. Remember, fun is a utility.
They're synonymous. It just, instead of utility, it's get ready for fun.
Yeah, exactly.
You know that doesn't have the same ring to it.
It doesn't.
I for sure know that. It's an inside joke. We were just saying, like, everyone says utility and nobody, like, truly knows what it means sometimes. So, like, we've heard it so many times that we just started, like, word replacing anytime somebody says utility in the group. We're like, you mean fun.
Yeah.
Fun. I think fun is a utility, though. Like, if you have the time of your life while you're making a bunch of money, like come on, we all remember 2021, and, you know, like, that was, like...
I don't know, that's a distant memory, Henry.
There was so much love in the air. Yeah. There was literally, like, everybody loved each other. There was no beef. There's no bit boy punching somebody else on for entertainment. Like, it was just all love. We could all, like, live in our ideals and our dream fantasy and, you know, talk about building a better society and all that good stuff. So we got to bring those days back.
It was kumbaya, everyone. What was it? Come on. How can I forget this? You know, the whole thing of we're all going to win. Come on.
Wag me.
Yes, thank you.
All of us with our wag me shirts, and
that's
many
how
did
long
not make
then
it.
Is. We don't even remember the word anymore.
That is so sad.
Much pain.
Well, that was decades ago, right?
That was like about 50 years in Web3 times. So we need to.
That was definitely 50 years ago. That was another lifetime ago that we were screaming wag me. That's wild. All right, guys. Well, listen, thank you so much for joining us today. I had so much fun. Apologies for not getting the video up, but next time I'll put my lipstick back on for everybody to see.
We'll get you post-mint. We'll do like the post-mint recap where we can all flex our PFPs.
There you go. That's exactly what we'll do. Guys, if this is your first time joining us, make sure that you are following me and that you are following everybody in this space. We do this show, if you know, every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you didn't know, now you know. I'll see you guys next week. Have an amazing rest of your week and rest of your day, everybody. Bye.